Hello, everyone. It's Paul D'Souza from Sightline Wealth Management. And today I'm speaking with Chad Larmon, founder and principal of Larmon Risk Management Insurance. And as everyone is aware of, Sightline, we collaborate with specialists and professionals in various fields to bring best-in-class service to our open architecture wealth management platform. So today we're speaking with Chad on all things insurance and specifically any new developments in the industry with regards to COVID-19. So Chad, how are you?
Yeah, I'm doing well. Thanks, Paul. Definitely unsettling times, but we're doing well. Three young kids at home, so my wife and I have transitioned to working from home. She's a chartered accountant, so we've got the war room set up at home, dining room table, computers back to back, and our three kids, jumping into our Zoom calls from time to time. So all is good.
Oh, that's great to hear. It's actually, I think we're seeing that part of that human aspect to individuals where we probably not aware of that in our daily lives pre COVID-19. Excellent. So yesterday we were speaking briefly about some new, I guess, underwriting requirements from the insurance companies. Let's begin there.
Yeah, no, for sure. So since this all started to happen, it's kind of changed a lot of different industries. But from a life insurance perspective specifically, the physical distancing aspect of what's been going on, as you're aware, when we apply for insurance, generally what comes along with that is the need for our clients to meet with a nurse professional and complete some medical questions and do some blood and urine testing. But because of physical distancing, that hasn't happened for the last couple of months. And what we're seeing, what the insurance companies have done is they've actually looked at the limits that they're allowing for with non-fluid, so no blood or urine testing, no need to meet with the nurse, and they've actually increased the testing limits. So good opportunity that if you're using this time as a pause to kind of reflect on your financial house and protection aspects, potentially a good opportunity to look at less hassle to apply and secure the appropriate amounts of life insurance, maybe disability or critical illness insurance for that matter.
What is the maximum now that you're permitted under this new structure?
Yeah, so great question, Paul. So every insurance company has different limits. The highest limits that we're seeing in the marketplace right now is up to $2 million and up to certain age categories. So the $2 million goes up to about age 50. With a couple different, one company in particular, and then up to the age of 60, we can still do up to $1 million with one insurer in particular. So that's kind of where the industry is at. If there was a need for more life insurance, again, this is all subject to people still having a pretty clean health declaration where these limits would apply. But yeah, that's kind of where the limits are. So pretty generous and allows us to continue to help clients across the country with their insurance portfolios during this time.
Well, it's good to hear. It sounds like a lot of companies, including banks, are stepping up during this crisis. Are the insurance industry providing any relief for customers who have been financially impacted in terms of payment or premiums?
It's another great question. And the answer is yes. Again, I think at the beginning, insurance companies didn't really know what they were dealing with. We all kind of didn't know what this was going to look like. But as more and more news came out and we saw that there's going to be more of a lasting impact here, pretty much every major insurance company in the Canadian marketplace has at least a 90-day deferral program. So you do have to contact them, go through your broker, your advisor, or directly with the insurer that you're with, and they can help you defer your premium payments for a period of 90 days. The thing that I thought was, going to be a challenge was what happens at the end of 90 days. There's not going to be a lot of people that are financially impacted if they need the deferral or need to take advantage of it, they're not going to be flush with a lot of cash to come up with all those premiums at that 90 days. So insurance companies have been taking it a step farther and looking at smoothing those payments over, like, for example, a 6-month period with one insurance company. And, you know, for our clients, Paul, you know, my promise is that we'll be communicating with anyone that's requested a deferral and negotiating with the insurer on their behalf to get the best, you know, repayment terms and make it easiest on our clients from a cash flow perspective.
Well, it's great to hear. And I know some policies, depending on the structure, have some cash value. Are you recommending clients access that or borrow against it?
Yeah, so you are correct. So with life insurance, a lot of people think life insurance at a basic level, and I think they're right, it provides a death benefit when you die. But when you look at policies that are more permanent in nature, you know, common ones that we see in the marketplace would be like a universal life policy that's overfunded, or a what's called a participating whole life insurance policy that accumulates, both of them would accumulate a cash value component. And it does act as your private reserve of cash that you can access while you're alive, Paul. So definitely a great place to go to grab some cash if needed for a short-term you know, time like this. And we have had clients actually connect with us and strategize with us to basically not disrupt the vehicle that we've created in the tax sheltering aspect of their life insurance, but to use it as an asset and loan against it. So taking like a short-term loan at the interest rates these days are quite low, as you're aware, and they're able to access some of the funds from their life insurance policy, you know, for this, you know, for this, this period of time. So it's worked really well for those clients that have policies like that.
Is this at a prescribed rate of interest rate?
So without getting into too much technical detail, there's kind of three different ways to access your life insurance cash values. But the one that we recommend to avoid taxation is to work with your preferred lender, or we have relationships with all the major banks and some other lenders. And it's really whatever rate you can negotiate. So we're looking at, you know, somewhere in and around prime. You know, where they can borrow against the policy, and you know, prime's quite low these days, so you know, it's a great way to access some cash without incurring taxation and allowing that policy to continue to grow, knowing that the intention would be to, you know, put those reserve funds back at some point once things get back to normal and business picks up again.
Oh, this is interesting. So, my next question is there a period of time which the funds have to be returned, or is it when you can?
Yeah, no. So it's a great question. So because it's your asset and you're kind of loaning or leveraging against it, you're basically putting the money back on your own prepayment terms. So we recommend to our clients that they at least, you know, fund the interest that's charged on the loan, so that we don't have a massively growing loan amount over time. But for those principal payments, they can put the money in, on their own terms. And, you know, if it was later in life, Paul, and they took some money out for retirement income or something like that, what happens is the death benefit, if they died and there was a loan balance outstanding, that loan balance would be forgiven first, and then the residual amount would go to their beneficiaries via the death benefit.
Right. Well, it's very, very interesting. I mean, now it sort of dispels a common myth amongst individuals that insurance is something that you really never get to enjoy. It's, you know, it's your beneficiary. So here's a great example of during your lifetime, you can access it to, as you say, just to get you through this period.
Yeah, certainly. And we see clients looking at, you know, life insurance as a part of their overall holdings in terms of assets versus just being, you know, like a term insurance, which is, you know, might be more viewed as like an expense item and kind of a necessary protection piece while your family's young or while you have business partners, that sort of thing.
Exactly. What other types of planning are you doing with your clients during this time?
So great question. So, for our clients that are, professional types, high income, but they haven't built their net worth up yet, Paul, it's really more protection-based planning. So the appropriate amount of term life insurance, which is, essentially free in the marketplace today. I don't think they can charge any less. disability income protection, critical illness insurance. So that's what we see, for those types of clients. But for clients that have built their businesses or they're getting closer to retirement, we really look at, how much tax our clients are paying, and we focus in on how life insurance can help in the tax and estate planning discussion. Because when you think about it, once you've built up your assets, a lot of us use, and our professional advisors tell us to defer. But at the end of the day, the tax department will come looking for, their portion of those assets. So what we show clients is that, part of the estate that they've built actually isn't theirs. And we kind of show them how life insurance can help, create cash to fund, tax liabilities at death, just as an example.
So in terms of where we are right now, is there anything pressing that anyone listening should do right now if they don't have insurance or if they do have a policy or a few policies?
Yeah, I think with the time that we're in, Paul, I think the best advice is to review your insurance portfolio. And if you don't have an insurance portfolio and you have dependents that rely on you financially, it's a great time to get started just with, the laxed underwriting that we're seeing in the marketplace and a little bit less hassle and those sorts of things. So, work with a professional advisor that focuses in the insurance space specifically, because I can tell you that's where I focus. And there's so much to know in just the life insurance space. You really will yield the best result and get the best advice from someone that an advisor that focuses in on the insurance specifically. So, yeah, reviewing your portfolio right now or starting your portfolio is really my best advice.
So can you give me an example when you do review an individual with a policy? What are some of the, most common things that you identify? Could it be policy taken out many years ago and life circumstances have changed and maybe they're underinsured or maybe not taking advantage of certain strategies?
Certainly. I mean, we see a lot of different situations, as you can imagine, and we've seen clients that have bought term policies, say they bought a policy 15 years ago, for example, and it was on a 10-year guaranteed rate structure. Sometimes clients might not realize is that rate, that initial rate they were paying, say it was $100 a month, it's now jumped to $400 or $500 a month. And most people would notice that, but if their income's gone up, and their life is busy, like mine with three children, they may not actually realize that there's been an automatic renewal happen on that policy. So, again, working with an advisor and what we try to do is show clients what their options are, especially if they have their good health and they just want to buy some new term insurance at that point. Instead of spending the $400 or $500 a month on that renewal, we can, maybe lock in a rate at $150 or $200 a month. So we look at that. I think the amount of coverage is paramount. I like to think of my coverage with a young family, for every $1 million of life insurance that I own, heaven forbid something happened to me, my wife could take that capital that's created with the life insurance. And if it's invested and earns 5% in the market, you get about 50,000 a year of income per million. So I like to think about it like that. We often meet clients that have a significant income and, they have $500,000 of life insurance and they just haven't done the math on thinking through, what the appropriate amounts are. The list goes on. I mean, just making sure beneficiaries are up to date. Structuring policies not just to meet your short term needs, but what does the long term look like? So we do a lot of, analysis and have great conversations with clients when we get into discussing what their options are.
Well, that's great. Chad, this has been very informative, so I encourage any listeners to, if they have a policy or don't, to reach out to Sightline Advisor. We can put you in touch with Chad. I think we'll place a bit of information on the link associated with this recording. So before we end the call, is there a single largest opportunity right now within the marketplace that listeners should be aware of?
Yeah, so the biggest opportunity in the life insurance space today, Paul, and it's maybe not for everybody, but I do want to mention it. It's for our clients that have built a successful business, or they were a professional. They've got a corporation or an investment holding company right now, and they've got money that's invested in there. And they've done some analysis, or we can do the analysis with them. But if they have money in that corporation that they might not, or they actually just will never spend based on their lifestyle habits, life insurance is a tremendous opportunity, corporate life insurance specifically, just from a tax perspective, where we can show some significant advantages by using life insurance strategies in a corporation versus kind of the status quo of just investing the money inside that holding company or a professional corporation or what it might be. So, it's a matter of, when we look at that, reducing the overall tax bill during our client's lifetime, and really keeping more money for their family or charity, versus a very large amount going to the tax department. And that's what I would say is really the single largest opportunity right now in the marketplace.
That's great advice. Thank you. Well, I think that's good now. We'd love to have you again in the next little while. So appreciate your insights.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Thanks for having me, Paul. Thank you.
You're welcome.